How are you keeping, I suppose, first, is my first question. Are you okay?
I'm doing good, yeah. I think I'm just getting by at the minute, but I feel a bit of relief now that it's actually all over me and that I can finally start to move on in a way.
How important was it for you, for this person to be identified, for you to be able to have your voice in this in this whole process post the awful abuse you endured?
I think it was very important because for so long I internalized the feelings of guilt and shame because he was my father. I thought it was my fault. So to be honest, it was very important for me to be able to even speak out, because even for not that long before the court, I was kind of in two minds. I was just so nervous. I was like, felt like people were going to be like, oh no, it's definitely her fault. It's like, because I always went back to visit him, but at the end of the day, he was my father, so I didn't know any different than to keep going back.
And well, you were a young girl.
Yeah, I
was thinking you were doing the right thing, what the right thing is to do, what you're supposed to do.
Definitely, yeah. I think it was just because he was my father at the end of the day, I just felt like if I didn't go see him, that I would be leaving him alone, because at the time my parents were separated and me and my siblings lived with my mother. So I even felt guilt at that time for not going to see him all the time. So I think it was just normal for me.
It must have been a great deal of pressure for you through your teenage years. The guilt you felt of feeling you must visit him, what everyone else in the family might think, you know, that it might blow the family apart as much as, it, you know, obviously your parents were separated already. Did you carry that as well with you? Were you saying, you know, will people believe me? Will they blame me? Not just the public or people that might find out, but the people closest to you?
Definitely, yeah. I think I was just so scared. I thought that my own family, my mother and my brothers and sisters, I thought that they would blame me, and I was just so scared to tell them, because I couldn't, being of that age and being of just innocence, I suppose, I just couldn't understand how it couldn't be my fault.
Mm.
Because in a way I felt like I played a part, because I always went back and visited him. I always stayed over. So for years, them feelings kind of crippled me in a way, because I could never release myself from those feelings of guilt or those feelings of shame. And it hasn't been until recently that I've been able to kind of come to terms with them and realise that it wasn't my fault.
Yeah. And do you have those feelings from you gone? I mean, when we endure emotions for a long period of time, it can take a long time for them to lift there. There can be like almost like a half-life.
Mm-hmm.
So whilst you say, you know, it's helping you release you from those feelings of guilt, is that an ongoing process that you're
definitely
working through, even as a 22-year-old?
Definitely, yeah.
Because this is not a light switch, is it? Everything's not fixed all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's not like I just wake up after court and be like, okay, that's me fixed. I'm no longer feel the way I felt. But it's like, it definitely is an ongoing process. I know it might take me even years to fully release and those feelings of guilt, but and I might not even release them, but it has just kind of made me let go of some of them.
Yeah, and I think you can work through them in a different way now.
Definitely,
aren't you?
Yeah. I definitely can. I feel like before, even when I was trying, like my family were trying to help me work through them, and I was listening to them, but I wasn't taking in anything that they were saying. And I think now, just realizing how wrong it was and how many people have, like, shown so much support to me and have told me like that it couldn't in no way be my fault, and I think that it definitely just helps to have others like family, friends, and literally anyone out there who can understand.
Yeah, well, I mean, for what it's worth, as a parent, I feel our only significant job really is to care for our children, to make sure they're safe, to deal with whatever moods that they may have or the little tantrums that they might throw, or and to guide them as best we can through their education and life. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes we fail, but we try.
Yeah.
And for anyone, no one could ever believe that it could ever be your fault. You were failed. You know what I mean? It's never, ever, there's not one iota of responsibility that you bear for that. It was another person that completely failed in their responsibility and even went beyond failing. And I'm hoping, I'm sure you will in time fully realise that if you don't already. Up until the age of 9, and I only want to, you to speak about what you're comfortable about speaking about, and also what you think is helpful in speaking to other people, because I know you're doing this for reasons which we'll talk about a little later on, but to help other people. Up until the age of 9, was everything like relatively normal?
Definitely, yeah. I just lived a normal childhood. There was nothing out of the ordinary, to be honest. I did just normal things any child would do, and I think that's why it kind of made it hard, because it just changed in a way, and part of me couldn't understand it, because it was so normal before that even when it had started, I still kind of thought, okay, this might be normal, like it could be normal. So
did you understand what was happening?
At the very beginning, I didn't. I didn't have a clue, to be honest, what was going on. I think just at that age, I was so innocent and I didn't know anything regarding abuse or sexual intercourse or anything at all. So it was so confusing, because even if, like, people have said to me, oh, like, there's so much things out there, like, you could have heard or something, but I didn't even know what it was to be able to identify what was happening. So it was kind of, like, confusing in a way, because sometimes, like, I would feel, I think as I got a bit older and it was happening, and I realised that this happens no matter what, like, if I want it to happen or not, or if I'm reluctant or not, that it's going to happen no matter what. So I think that made me realise, not fully, but it made me realise in a way that this can't be right, like, it can't be normal.
Would it have helped, and I don't think looking back at things as if things were different ever helps, but if you had been given some sort of a basic understanding of these things at school, do you think it would have helped for you to sort of go, right, well, this isn't wrong? Or this is wrong, sorry.
I don't know, to be honest. I feel like maybe at that age I probably still wouldn't have fully
understood. And I think it's in the context of what should be a loving and caring relationship, isn't it? And that's where it becomes, even if you were told, like, you know.
Definitely, because even when I was older and I did understand, I still was like, still didn't think it was his fault. I still thought it was my fault, so I don't know, to be honest, if I would have even understood at that age.
And it continued for 3 years?
It continued from when I was 9 till I was around 12, so 4 years or so, maybe.
Of course, sorry, inclusive. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
For everything you've been through, Karen. And at what stage did it become clear to you that this was wrong? I mean, obviously you knew it was wrong, but you talked of sort of the confusion as to, is it normal or is it not normal? Was there a point then where you said, obviously this is, I realise now fully that what's happening here is really...
I think it was only in my later teen years that I really realised, to be honest, because I still kept a secret from when I was 9 until I was in my later teens, and I think I didn't begin to realise until then that it was wrong.
And is it clear what made it stop at 12?
It's not, no. It's just, people have asked me and I just couldn't explain it. It was, all I remember is that he moved house whenever I was 12 years old, and whenever he moved into that new house, it never happened again. And it still was in the back of my mind because I still visited him. So I still was as if I was waiting for it to happen, but it just never did after that.
Right. So then what was, because you're clever. You're very academic, aren't you? So how then did you continue through your teens with what you went through, still working out what actually happened? As you say, you were later in your teens when you realised exactly what was happening and why it was wrong. Like, how was life then, you know, from 13, 14, 15 and 16? Now, obviously, it was a sort of a fake reality, and that's clear now. Yeah. So I'm fully aware of that, by the way. But what was it relatively normal, or did how were you affected?
I think for a while it was probably relatively normal, because I kind of just buried those feelings until I was in my later teens, until I actually spoke out about it. So I think I did live quite a normal life, but it was kind of like I was suffering in silence, because I felt like I couldn't tell anyone, and I couldn't.
And the longer it went, did it become more difficult then for,
the longer it went, it did become more difficult, because even when I was in my early teens in school, all my friends were just so much more outgoing and so much more, like, they were in relationships from a young age, and I just couldn't imagine myself in any sort of relationship. I couldn't imagine myself even sometimes going out at night. I kept myself very isolated from going out life, kind of, and I kept myself very isolated from, like, meeting up with my friends because I was so scared that they could find out and that maybe they would stop talking to me or that they would just hate me in a way.
Yeah.
So,
because this was still this feeling, and it all comes back to you feeling there's some sense of responsibility, which mm-hmm. is just an awful cross for you to bear through those years that you should have just been enjoying every minute of life. What happened then? That at what stage of your life then did you say, right, I have to speak out here? Or how? What happened there? Was it a particular conversation or a particular thing that happened to you in your life?
Yeah, so it was one evening I was in my auntie's house and there was something on the news about, I think if you remember, it was like about the priests and how they had abused altar boys and girls. And I think it was on the news at the time, and I think whenever I heard it, I just became so overwhelmed and so emotional and I began to cry. And then she asked me if everything was okay, and then at that point I just said it then. I think it was even strange for me to say it then because I was holding myself back from saying it for so long. And like, I feel like there was instances before where I could have said it, but I was just like, no, like, this is my fault. I don't want people to know how, like, shameful my life is in a way.
Mm. Okay. And what was the reaction?
I think it was just utter shock, and she just began, like, asking me questions of about what had happened. And
because she would have gone into, well, I don't know your aunt, but mm-hmm. I think a lot of us would go into panic mode. So tell us, what do you mean? How did that, you know, because we're not really equipped to deal with that, because that was a huge thing for her to sort of hear as well, as you, a huge thing for you to sort of relieve yourself of as well.
To be honest, I think she was quite calm in a way. Because I was starting to panic, so I think maybe she realised that
one of us is going to
one of us needs to take the reins. Yeah. So, I think she was quite calm in a way, and she kind of helped me, but she just reassured me that it wasn't my fault and that I was doing the right thing by speaking out.
Was there, in that moment, was there an instant slight relief? In other words, you know what I mean? Was it like, wow, someone's heard what I've carried and they've reassured me that it's not my fault? That must have been an amazing moment in this whole thing.
Definitely, yeah. I think I probably will never feel relief like it, because for something that I have only said in my head for so many years, my entire life, basically, mm-hmm. and to finally say it out loud, it was like, it was surreal in a way. It was just crazy.
Yeah, but then, of course, now it's out there.
Yeah.
So, then it's other members of the family. So how did that progress then? At what point did you tell the rest of the family, or how long did you wait to go to the Gardaí, or how did you decide to go to the Gardaí?
I didn't really know what happens after I spoke out, to be honest. And I think it was my family who kind of guided me and said, like, this is what you can do, or, like, but only do it if you feel comfortable. So, to be honest, I don't remember how long after it was that I went to the guards, but I think it was a terrifying experience.
How was that experience? How did you find the initial interactions with the Gardaí? Because we're talking, it's not a historical case, mm-hmm. but it's going back a number of years, and it's probably going to come down to your word against another person's
definitely,
word, right?
Yeah.
So how was that whole conversation that you had with them?
So it kind of did come down, like, it felt like it came down to my father's word against my word, to be honest. But I didn't know what to expect going in there, but I remember just the first day that I went in there, they were just so supportive, and it was crazy in a way because they didn't even doubt me in any way. They just listened to what I had to say and took my life story on board, basically, and they showed me a huge amount of support throughout, since then, and throughout the whole process, to be honest. So it was, I wouldn't go back and change the fact that I did speak out about it and that I did go to the guards.
Yeah. He denied it at the time, continues to deny it now.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant obviously there was going to be a trial, and you were going to have to give evidence of that trial.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's nothing in life to prepare us for having to do that, because whatever way, as difficult as it was over those years, before you actually spoke to your auntie and then to the rest of the family, that was in private.
Yeah.
This was a public space, really. Mm-hmm. Your father would have been there when you were given evidence.
Yeah, it was.
Which is incredibly difficult for you. How long were you in given evidence for?
So the trial lasted about maybe, I think, 8 days. Mm. And I think it wasn't until maybe the second day that I actually gave evidence. But I remember before I went in to the... When I stepped into the actual court building, I was like, oh, this is fine. Like, I'll be okay. Like, this isn't a big deal. And then I remember as I just stepped foot in the courtroom, I... just an overwhelming sense of fear.
Mm.
And I felt like I began to shake in a way, and I was just, I couldn't even eat. Like, I felt like I was going to get sick, or I couldn't even stand. It was just, it was something I'll never be able...
It all came down to that, didn't it?
Definitely, yeah. It literally just came down to the last minute of
actually
being in
there. Because we can't
forget
either what you've been through, but that you're 22. You know what I mean? And as you go through life, and people can be very mature at 22, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that, but just you learn little things as you go through life, and that's all ahead of you, thank God. But, you know, I think it's a huge thing for someone of your age and what you've been through to have to do in the search for justice. But then to recount it, I suppose, and I mean, we're certainly not going to do that now. Well, I imagine that must be very difficult. Was cross-examination difficult?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, just even I found going up there and when I was talking to my own barrister and he was helping guiding me through my story, I think even that was difficult because, to be honest, it has only been my family and the Gardaí and... that I have really spoke to about and like close friends. But I think when I was sitting up there and realising that there is, first of all, 12 complete strangers on the jury who are listening to my story, and then the judge herself and other people, other Gardaí there, and it was just terrifying in a way. And then the fact that he was there, as my father was there as well, kind of made it emotionally daunting in a way, because I knew that he was in denial, so it kind of was just so scary, because I was like, my own father is sitting there listening to me and he either doesn't believe it or doesn't want to admit it. So it was,
and then also he mustn't care at all, because if he cared he wouldn't put through this.
Yeah, definitely. It just felt like I was,
this is not a stranger, this is
my father. Yeah, your father. Somebody who was,
you thought, right, now's the time.
It's somebody who was supposed to love me, like who was supposed to care for me all those years ago.
And did you think, what is your view on him denying it even now?
To be honest, I think, I don't know really what I think. I think it still kind of hurts. Well, obviously it hurts in a way, because I'm like, my own father is making me out to be a liar in a way, and it's as if I am no one to him. But I don't know if it would make it any easier if he did admit to it, because I think it would kind of upset me some, possibly even more. I know it might be hard to understand, but I think possibly more it would upset me, because I would be like, okay, he's actually taking accountability for his actions. Mm-hmm. But it, even if he never admits it, I think it will never take away from the fact that it happened and that it
changed really
my life.
How, you don't even know how you might feel if you did.
Definitely,
so we're, you know, we just simply don't know.
But I mean,
it, obviously, there was your loss of innocence and much of your life, the way you should have been living it, taken away from you. But also, it's the loss of a parent, but a parent that's not not dead. How do you process that, or do you, or what's your feelings?
I think,
because you can't,
just,
you do reference him as your father.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what seems natural to come off the tip of your tongue, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he definitely is my father.
Yeah,
he still will always be my father. I will never not see him as my father, to be honest. And I think that's what I found so hard growing up, because I just was like, if I tell, then I don't know what's going to happen. And even if I go through with this court process, in a way, I'm losing my father. And even though I kind of lost him all those years ago when he started to abuse me, that I think part of my inner child held out hope to still have a relationship with him and to still kind of do all those normal things that other people would do. But I just knew that it wasn't right. And it,
In your impact statement, and maybe taking this a little bit out of context, but you says, I shouldn't have to live my life feeling sorry for him. Mm-hmm. Has this process relieved you of the sympathy, or do you still feel sorry for him?
It has relieved me of some sympathy for him, but I definitely still do feel some sense of sorrow for him, because even on the last day when they were calling out the sentence and he was standing there, and I think in a way I became so overwhelmed, I became so sad, because it was kind of like the final stepping stone for me to realise that he is going away and he has been punished for what he did. And even though I know it is right, and I know it is so right, not just for me but for so many other people out there, it still is hard. And I don't know, I think sometimes my family may find it hard to understand why I feel sorry for him, and while my heart kind of breaks in a way that I'm sending him away. But it's just something that is so hard to explain, I think.
Yeah, of course. And no one could understand it other than those that maybe have gone through something similar.
Yeah.
The sentence, 10 and a half years effectively, do you have an opinion on that?
To be honest, I think I went in there not looking for a specific outcome. I think I just wanted my story to be out there, and I wanted basically him just to be recognised for what he did, because I feel like he has had such a good name, or that he, like, I feel like everybody loved him and everybody, like, thought so well of him. And so I don't think, no matter how long it would have been, that I would have been either happy or sad.
You don't get any satisfaction from it, effectively.
No,
okay, it's not relevant.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you stood in the court and delivered your victim impact statement and your evidence as 22-year-old Karen. But in a way, were you, you know how sometimes they say, you know, what would you tell your 9-year-old self or your 5-year-old self or whatever? Was that also sort of 9-year-old Karen standing up there? Like, were you speaking on behalf of your 9-year-old self?
Definitely, yeah. I think because I felt like I had no voice back then, that I couldn't speak, and that I was just so scared. So standing up there as my 9-year-old self, I'd say, in a way, I did. And it just made me so proud of myself, and it made me realise that I was doing the right thing. Because even though I'm speaking about the abuse, it is me speaking about my past self and my younger self. So definitely to be able to stand up for my 9-year-old self was a big thing for me.
Yeah, I hope you're proud of yourself, are you?
I definitely am, in a way. Okay. I know it might sound...
No, it's not. It doesn't sound anything at all. That's why I wanted to say it first. Now, the way that the system works is if you hadn't waived your anonymity, he would have still been charged, still gone to prison. People maybe in the local area who knew would have known, right? But your experience would have been...
Different.
No, would know it happened, okay? So you still would be there. You know, you're not going to go into every place saying, look, this is what... Happened, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to waive your anonymity then in order to name your abuser. And what do you hope that does for other people? And I think it's only other people that it's relevant to. For some people, everyone has to deal with things differently, don't they,
yeah.
Karen? But there are going to be people that were like you that are just waiting for one thing to sort of get justice for themselves.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's they that you're sort of... For others, they'll deal with it in a completely different way. Mm-hmm. It's for them that you're hoping to give courage to speak out to, or support maybe, actually, because they're full of courage having to endure what they've endured, but to give them the support to speak out if it suits them.
Definitely, yeah. I think it was very important for me to be able to waive my anonymity, because I think for victims, it's so scary and it's so hard for us to understand why we should speak about it and why we're not at fault. So I really hope in a way that it will, for anyone listening out there, that they can realise that they're not alone, that they're not at fault, no matter how many times you go over it in your head. There is no rational explanation that can make it your fault, because no matter what age you are, you can't be at fault. So I really hope in a way that this helps them to realise that they can speak out, and not even just give them the courage, but just give them the hope that their life can change, and that they won't always be stuck in that cycle of abuse for
Because you can be stuck in the cycle of abuse even once the abuse has stopped.
Yeah, definitely. You can be stuck in it for so long. Yeah. You can just kind of trap yourself in it, I think, to be honest.
Well, what about your life for the future now? You are hoping to go on to third level now, or have you begun that process?
I haven't begun it yet, no, but I will apply in whenever CAO.
Do you know what you want to do?
I want to do secondary school teaching, I hope.
Brilliant.
Spanish and Irish, hopefully, if it all works out. So I am looking forward to that. And yeah. I feel like I have held back from that for so many years because I didn't want to go on to college with this hanging over me, to be honest. And
Your understanding of the experience because of you going through it, but also the way you can sort of analyse it and the inner voices and you articulate it so well. Would part of you also maybe want to be able to work in that area to sort of, you know, help others who've gone through it? Because, as I say, the way you can articulate what you've been through, it's very useful. It's a skill, if you know what I mean.
Definitely, yeah. I think from even when I was younger, like, I remember my family used to say, like, I can no longer say the word I don't know because no matter what they asked me, my only response was, I don't know, I don't know. So from a younger age until now, the difference that I can see in myself, there is no way that I wouldn't want to help other people and help them find their voice in a way and help them to understand how they're actually feeling. Because sometimes I didn't even understand. Like, I was like, this is what I'm thinking, but I don't know how I'm actually feeling. So I definitely would like to help other people.